Good evening and welcome. Welcome everyone to this live telephone town hall meeting that we have for you tonight with Stay Covered Texas and special guests. Looks like we have just a few of you on the line right now. We are so glad that you are here as we have important information to share with you regarding Medicaid. So please stay on the line while we continue to connect to more and more of your neighbors in Texas. Now, if you'd like to listen to this call in Spanish tonight, go ahead and press 8. Again, good evening and welcome, everyone. You are live on the line for this important telephone town hall meeting we have for you regarding all things Medicaid. It's time for millions of Texans to renew Medicaid, and we don't want you to lose your health insurance to outdated information. We do these calls as a way to reach out to you and open up the conversation to answer any questions you may have. If you have a question in mind already about Medicaid, please press 0. Again, pressing 0 to submit your questions tonight. You will first speak with an operator who will assist you in getting your questions in line. So again, pressing 0 to submit those. Now, we're dialing out to thousands of Texans tonight, so please bear with me as I go through this introduction on why we're here and how you can participate a couple more times while we allow everyone to join. Special guests are standing by to share important information with everyone on the line tonight. We want to make sure that you have the information you need to keep your Medicaid or to get other affordable health insurance, and we want to have as many of your neighbors on the line to learn more. So again, if you're just joining us, good evening and welcome. You're live on the line for this live telephone town hall meeting we have for you with Stay Covered Texas and special guests. Standing by, we have Sonia Laura, Director of Outreach and Enrollment with Texas Association of Community Health, Julia Lauthrup, Acting Regional Director with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And joining them, we also have Graciela Camarena, Program Director for the Children's Defense Fund in Texas. And they are all excited to hear from many of you and to answer your questions. Again, if you have questions, comments, or concerns, please press 0 on the keypad on your phone. We want to make sure you have the information you need to keep your Medicaid or get other affordable health insurance. So again, please press 0 so that we can get your questions and concerns addressed. So last time here before we officially get started with opening remarks from Sonia, we're asking you to join our community conversation to help share important information for you and your neighbors regarding Medicaid. It's time for millions of Texans to renew Medicaid, and we don't want you to lose your health insurance to outdated information. We encourage our listeners tonight that if you have a question regarding the topic at hand, to please press 0 to get your question in line. We will be taking your questions live after we hear from our speakers. And if you'd rather not ask your question live tonight, just let your operator know that you would like us to read your question over the air. Either way, still press 0 to submit your question. Remember that if you'd like to listen to this call in Spanish, you can press 8. Now, without further ado, I'd like to officially get us started off by turning it over to Director of Outreach and Enrollment, Sonia Laura, and guest speakers to update you on the latest information. Sonia, thank you so much for joining us. Please take it away.
Hi, everyone. This is Sonia Laura with Stay Covered Texas. Stay Covered Texas was formed by a group of nonprofit organizations to help families with Medicaid. You may have heard that Texas just dropped 500,000 people for Medicaid, and we want to make sure you have the information you need to keep your Medicaid or get other affordable health insurance. Taylor?
Yes, that's right, Sonia. And before we do continue, we'd like to get some feedback from you regarding your Medicaid status. Now, with that, go ahead and get your phone keypads out and ready to vote. We want to know, have you or someone in your family had Medicaid? Now you can press 1 if you or someone in your family currently has Medicaid. Press 2 if you have had Medicaid in the past. You can press 3 if you are trying to apply for Medicaid for someone in your family, or press 4 for no one in your family has had Medicaid. So again, let me go ahead and go through this first survey question once more to get everyone to weigh in. We want to know, have you or someone in your family have Medicaid? You can press 1 for you or someone in your family currently has Medicaid. Press 2 if you've had Medicaid in the past. Press 3 if you are trying to apply for Medicaid for someone in your family, or press 4 if no one in your family has had Medicaid. So thank you all so much, and we do want to share these results with everyone. So those results are in here, and I want to just share these with you, Sonia. It looks like we had 57% of our listening audience tonight say that you or someone in their family currently has Medicaid. Following that, 20% is saying that no one in their family has had Medicaid. And behind those, we have 16 and 18% with they've had Medicaid in the past, or they are trying to apply for Medicaid for someone in their family. So thank you all so much for your feedback here. And Sonia, I'm going to toss it back to you.
Great. That's wonderful to know. It gives us a great idea of who we're talking to on the phone. So we're going to share a lot more information about Medicaid, including what's happening with the program right now. So since COVID began, most Texans were able to stay on Medicaid even if they didn't complete their renewal paperwork or were no longer eligible. But now Texas Medicaid is starting to recheck eligibility for millions of people. Families should expect to complete a renewal once a year moving forward, and make sure that your address, phone number, and your income are always up to date. The process we know can be confusing, and many people who still qualify for Medicaid are falling through the cracks. We don't want that to be you. We have an army of enrollment assisters across Texas ready to help you with the process, so you don't have to do it alone. Now, let's now toss it over to Julia with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, who will share some more. Julia?
Thank you. Hi, this is Julia. I'm with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And I just want to share a quick reminder for everyone that accessing programs like Medicaid and SNAP is safe, and it helps your families to stay healthy. Signing up your eligible family members in these programs will not harm your or a family member's chances of getting a green card, becoming a U.S. citizen, or put anyone at risk of deportation. Now, let's hear from someone who helps families every day with their health insurance needs.
Thank you, Julia. Good evening, everyone. My name is Gracie, and I am an enrollment assister. I help families like yours with programs like Medicaid and CHIP. I want to share a few things you can do right now if you have Medicaid. Please make sure you have access to your Medicaid account on yourtexasbenefits.com or through your Texas Benefits mobile app. Update your information in your Texas Benefits mobile app, especially if you've moved since 2020. Make sure your address, phone number, income information, and household expenses are correct. Look out for a yellow notice in the mail or an alert in your Texas Benefits mobile app, and respond to requests for information right away. This is very important. You don't have to go through this alone. Local help is available. If you're worried you missed a notice, need help accessing your account, or want support navigating this process, you can find help at the community organization near you. Thank you. Sonia, I'll toss it back to you.
Thanks, Gracie. That's right. Our enrollment assisters can help with all your health insurance needs and can even help you apply for other benefits like SNAP if you are eligible. In fact, we're going to go ahead and launch a poll right now to see who needs help. If you request help through this poll, we'll share your phone number with a local organization, and they will reach out to you in the next few days. Taylor, I think we're ready now for that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And let us know, everyone, if you need help by using the numbers on your phone keypad to vote, just like you did earlier. You can press 1 if you need help with Medicaid. Press 2 if you want to explore other health insurance options besides Medicaid. Or press 3 if you need help with or are interested in SNAP benefits. So, again, we'd like you to vote right now. Go ahead and let us know if you need help. So you can press 1 if you need help with Medicaid. Press 2 if you want to explore other health insurance options besides Medicaid. Or press 3 if you need help with or are interested in SNAP benefits. And thank you all so much for letting us know here. Now, Sonia, go ahead with some more information, if you could, for those on the line and for those who may have joined us a little late.
Sure. Thanks, Taylor. Okay, great. So we're going to share just a little more information before we get to your questions. If you're just joining us, welcome. We've been talking about Medicaid renewals and how important it is to make sure that you complete your paperwork. You'll have plenty of opportunities to ask questions and request local help, so stay on the line. If you received your Medicaid renewal application but missed the deadline to submit your Medicaid paperwork or never received it, you can still send it in within 90 days for your case to be reopened. After that, you will have to reapply. Julia, would you like to add anything to that?
Sure. If you have received information that you don't understand, or if you need to have your questions answered, we encourage you to seek help from a local assister in your community. Gracie?
Thanks, Julia. Very important to seek information if needed. So some of you may be wondering, what if you no longer qualify for Medicaid? Well, there are some other affordable health care programs you can look into. Families with children who saw a small increase in their income may be able to enroll their children in the Children's Health Insurance Program, also known as CHIP. Young adults who have aged out, meaning they've already turned 19 or over, out of Medicaid, and women who are postpartum can now also find low-cost, high-quality health insurance through healthcare.gov. So, again, you can find low-cost, high-quality health insurance through healthcare.gov. Back to you, Sonia.
That's right, Gracie. Again, our enrollment assisters can help with all your health insurance needs, and can even help you apply for other benefits like SNAP if you're eligible. So, again, let's find out who needs help. Please tell us what you need help with, and an enrollment sister near you will contact you this week to set up an appointment. Again, if you need help with Medicaid, press 1. If you want to explore other health insurance options besides Medicaid, press 2. If you need help with or are interested in SNAP benefits, press 3. Okay. We'll keep that poll open for those of you that want to continue submitting your request for assistance. We're going to go ahead and take some questions now. Taylor?
All right. Thank you so much to all of our speakers here. And, yes, it is time for Q&A. And now before we do dive into your questions, we want to remind everyone that if you have questions, comments, or concerns regarding Medicaid, please go ahead and press 0 on your phone keypad to speak with an operator. We'd love to try to get those addressed while we have you tonight. So it looks like our first question here is coming to us from Denise in Big Spring, Texas. Denise, you're live on the line, and looks like we're going to toss your question over to Amy. So go ahead. Welcome.
Yes, ma'am. Are you there?
Yes. Go ahead with your question, Denise.
Well, I am a grandmother, and my granddaughter was on Medicaid at one time. My daughter passed away. I need to figure out how to get her back on Medicaid because I really don't have any income coming in right now. So I'm kind of interested in maybe some food stamps to help us out a little bit because we're living off my retirement. But she does need to have some kind of medical coverage.
Denise, this is Amy. I'm with Feeding Texas. If your granddaughter has been on Medicaid before and she's now living with you, I'm assuming, is she a minor? Under 18?
She's 16, yes.
Yes, okay. You can apply for her and yourself for SNAP on yourtexasbenefits.com. Or if you want to, in the survey, press 1 or 3. We'll have somebody reach out to you later this week and see if we can help you apply. There's many community partners and community organizations that can help with that application process.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Gracie. I wanted to add something else. To inform Ms. Denise, again, these two programs will ask for different information just to be ready to be able to provide the information. So the income that may be used for your granddaughter will be her income. So if she receives survival benefits, that is what will be counted for her Medicaid, not your income or your Social Security check. But for food stamps, they both will be used. So just something to think about and be ready for. This is just a little more information to prepare you for what to gather to have a complete application once somebody reaches out to you. My best to you, Ms. Denise.
Yes, thank you so much, Denise, for joining us here today and for being our first live caller. Again, if you want to get your question in line tonight, just like Denise did, go ahead and press 0. So with that, we do have our next question here that's coming in from Tony in Round Rock, who would like me to read his question over the air. Tony's asking, I get a lot of spam calls about Medicare and Medicaid. How do I know which ones are real and which are scams? Thank you so much, Tony, for that question. And Carla, I'm going to toss this one over to you if I can.
Thank you. Hi, I am Carla Martinez, and I work with Every Texan. And I appreciate that question, Tony, and I'm really sorry to hear that you've been on the receiving end of some of those spam calls in the past. We definitely want to make sure that you know how to protect yourself and your personal information when you get any type of confusing calls. So first, any type of organization through Medicaid or healthcare.gov or your state will never threaten you or anyone in your household or ask you for information like credit cards or take payments to qualify for health coverage. So you should not share anything personal like a Social Security number or money when you get those type of questions. The best way to protect yourself against some of those scam calls is to make sure that you can connect to local help near you through an enrollment assister organization, or you can also call 211 to get some good information from the state. Back to you, Taylor.
Thank you so much for that information, Carla. And we're going to go ahead and get to our next question here from Israel in Brady, Texas. Israel, looks like you have a great question here for Sonia. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Israel. You're live on the line with us. Please go ahead with your question.
I just want to know, Medicaid, Medicare, if I don't quite have Medicare. I think I have Medicaid, Medicare, but I'm for sure.
Yeah, and it looks like Israel is also asking, what's the purpose of Medicaid? Is it for help to get paid? What is the reason for it? Sonia, any information we can share for Israel?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, thank you for your question, Israel. I do see that your initial question was, what is the purpose of Medicaid? So basically, Medicaid is a public insurance program that provides health coverage to low-income families and individuals, including children, parents, pregnant women, seniors, and people with disabilities. It's a joint federal and state program that's funded and administered by both levels of government, so both the federal and state government. Medicaid offers benefits that are not normally covered by Medicare, so like nursing home care and personal care services, but it also helps pay for some Medicare costs. So I don't know if that helps answer your question, because I know you were talking about having both Medicare and Medicaid, and it is true that some people do have both programs. Medicare would be your first payer, and then Medicaid if you're a senior or someone with disabilities. And then Medicaid would help cover some of those costs as a secondary insurance. I hope that helps answer your question. Thank you, Israel.
Well, thank you. Yes, thank you so much for answering that, Sonia. And thank you, Israel, for joining us here as well. I want to give another reminder here, if I can quickly, that if you have questions that you'd like to ask live, go ahead and press 0 to get your questions in line tonight. And again, if you'd rather not go live with your question, that's absolutely fine as well. We can go ahead and read that over the air. Just be sure to let your operator know that that's what you prefer. So either way, go ahead and press 0 to get those questions in line. So with that, let's go ahead and get to our next caller. We have Tonya with us in Hitchcock. Tonya, you're live with us. Please go ahead with your question for Amy. Tonya, you're live on the line with us. Please go ahead. All right, no worries here. Looks like Tonya may have just stepped away from her phone. It looks like she was asking, I never received the Medicaid application in the mail. Also, looks like they were supposed to send me a SNAP application, and I never got that either. What should I do? Amy, anything we can share for Tonya?
Yes, definitely, Taylor. I would suggest that potentially your renewal time is not in place yet, and you may still be getting that packet with a yellow envelope. I would watch for that. If you have any questions on that, you can also call 211 option 2 and ask about that Medicaid renewal. And if you are needing a SNAP application, 211 option 2 will also be glad to mail you one. Or if you want to press 1 for Medicaid and 3 on the survey for SNAP, we'll have someone contact you about that and be able to help assist you and set up an appointment so they can help you fill that application out. I hope that answered your question, and thank you for calling in.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you so much, Tonya. I hope you got your answer there. I know you may have stepped away from your phone. Let's go ahead and take this next one. I see we have Maria with us in Dallas who submitted a question. She's live with us, but she'd rather me read her question over the air. Maria's asking, what if Texas Medicaid asks me for my immigration status? Sonia, can we tackle this one for Maria?
Sure. So you only need to submit immigration information for the members of your family who want to get Medicaid. So in other words, they're eligible members of your family that can qualify for this program. We've heard about cases where Texas Medicaid asks about immigration status for other members of the family. This is unnecessary. And if this happens to you, you can note that those family members are not applying for Medicaid. We encourage you to reach out to a local assister for help in this situation. Again, if you'd like to follow up a follow-up call from a local organization, press 1.
Thank you so much, Sonia. Great information. Really appreciate you. And it looks like we have another question here from Judith in Hemp Hill who also would like me to read her question. No worries. If you want to get your question in line, just like Judith and Maria did, go ahead and still press zero. And it looks like Judith is curious, is healthcare.gov really worth it? I could only get really expensive plans there in the past. Thanks for that question, Judith, and I'll defer this one to you, Carla.
Thanks, Taylor. So healthcare.gov is an affordable health coverage option for people that aren't eligible for Medicaid or aren't eligible for health insurance for their job, or it might just be too expensive to do their job. And this type of health insurance works based off your income. And in the last couple of years, this health coverage has been a lot more affordable, and Congress reduced the price of insurance plans. So if you've been locked out of health coverage in the past, there, it may have been too expensive, I would definitely encourage you to try again. Today, 4 out of 5 Texans who qualify for help on healthcare.gov actually have a plan for less than $10 a month. So normally, this open enrollment period opens up November 1st. Right now, people who have lost Medicaid this year are still eligible to get plans now through that.
All right. Thanks so much, Carla. Really appreciate your input here. And let's continue. Another question that we have here from Austin, also in Dallas here, who wants me to read his question. He's curious. I think I was incorrectly denied Medicaid. What should I do? This is a great question as well. Thanks so much, Austin, for joining the forum. Amy, anything we can share for Austin?
Yes. If Austin feels he has been incorrectly denied, if it's within 90 days of the denial, he can appeal that denial. Or there's also the possibility he could call 211 and have his case reviewed. That's 211, option 2, and talk to the agent that answers, and they should have escalated to someone with the state who can review that case. And if that has happened, they will look at that and reestablish if there's eligibility. You also have the right to reapply at any time. So that is a possibility. If you want to reapply, you can call 211 and reapply for Medicaid via the phone, or have one of the agents with the survey tonight that if you press 1 for Medicaid assistance, they can reach out to you in the next few days. So you have several different options there. If it's a recent denial, you can have it appeal that. You can also have it reviewed. Or again, reapply if it's been quite a while. I hope that helps. Thank you for
Absolutely.
Calling.
Thank you. For sure. Thank you so much for joining us here. Let's go ahead and continue on with questions. I still have some more really great ones to get to here tonight, but for anyone who may have joined us a little bit later on the line, if you have any questions regarding Medicaid, feel free to press 0 on your phone keypad. We are taking your questions live, but if you'd rather me read your question over the air, just let your operator know that that's what you would prefer. So either way, go ahead and join the conversation here tonight by pressing 0. Let's continue. I see we have Rachel up next with us in Broadus, Texas, who's curious as well with a question. Rachel, you are live on the line. Please go ahead with your question for Amy.
And so I've been drawing SSI for many years, and I've been drawing Medicaid for many years. So I was wondering if I have to renew my Medicaid, although I've never had to do it before.
Hi, Rachel. I'm Amy with Feeding Texas. And if you're on Medicaid through SSI, you should receive a renewal packet to get that renewed. It would probably come in the near future if you haven't already received it. So I would be watching your mail for that. And if you have any questions on that, you can also call 211, option 2, to ask if maybe you've missed that. I don't know if you have any issues with your mail, but that's something that sometimes occurs. So you can also call and ask when your renewal date is. I hope that helps.
Perfect. Thanks so much. Great information here, Amy. And let's go ahead and get some more callers up. I'd like to go ahead and welcome our next caller here. We have Brandy with us on the line. Brandy in Fort Worth, you are live. Please go ahead with your question. And I believe Sonia can go ahead and tackle this for you.
Okay. Thank y'all for doing this. I just got a phone call and it was a Zoom meeting. So I'm glad y'all called because I need help. I have two sons. My oldest son is 19, so he's aged out of chips. My youngest son is 12, so he's still on chips. And I got the renewal, and it said that I needed to put my 19-year-old's income as part of my income. So I did that, and then, of course, my 12-year-old son, as of October 1st, will no longer have chips. So my question is, why would they include my son's income into my income? It is not included in my income. We filed two separate tax returns, and he shouldn't be responsible as income towards his brother.
Well, Brandy, thanks for joining us. And I think I'm actually going to kick your question here over to Carla. Carla, can we share more information for Brandy?
Yeah, Brandy, it sounds like there might be some confusion about your case, and I think you could really benefit from working with somebody local to you and maybe digging into a little bit more of what exactly happened with your case and seeing if we can figure out what's going on. I think from this information, it's just a little confusing, so I'd love to see if we can get you connected to some help near you. It looks like you're in the Fort Worth area, so we might be able to follow up with somebody local to you that can help.
And if I can add a little to that, this is Gracie, Ms. Brandy. On the criteria, of course, for TIP and Children's Medicaid is to count the income in the household. So if your 19-year-old still resides with you and he's working, he's part of that household. We understand that, you know, whatever he receives, it's probably for his bills, or maybe he's going to school, things like that, but it is under the household. Now, if your 19-year-old no longer lives with you or is away at college and has, like, work study or has a part-time job over there, that shouldn't be counted within the household. But it is something to look at. It is frustrating. We understand just thinking how they can use other children or other people in the household income and that affecting your younger son. So, again, as Carla had mentioned, you know, by getting local assistance, you can look into that a little bit more just to make sure they are counting the correct income for the household. I hope that clarifies a little bit better. My best to you, Ms. Brandy.
Well, thank you both so much for your input here and information. Let's go ahead and continue. I see we have another question coming in from Mixie in South Fork. Mixie, you are live on the line with us. Thank you so much for joining. Go ahead with your question for Sonia.
Yes, my name is Mixie Ramirez. I am an insurance broker, and probably the reason I was included on this call is because I'm also the authorized representative for quite a few of my clients. Once I know that they qualify for either the Medicare Savings Program or Medicaid, long-term care, whatever, I take the time to help them apply for those services. But it is just this last 3 weeks, I have been bombarded with so many calls of them receiving the yellow package. Is there an easier way? Because I literally travel to their home, scan their documents, fill out those applications, send them in with all the supporting documents. Is there an easier way? And now I'm asking them to fill out the authorized representative so I don't have to have them on the phone every time I need to call the state. But I'm trying to figure out an easier way because, I mean, like I said, I've helped so many of them in the last 2-3 weeks that it's becoming extremely heavy when I have a business to run. So I'm trying to Is there an idea, a suggestion that you guys can give me so I can be more prepared or be a little bit more efficient trying to help all these individuals?
Well, thank you so much for your question, Mixie. This is Sonia Lotto with the Association of Community Health Centers. So I think there's two things going on here right now. There's definitely a lot of applications that are being submitted to the agency. The agency right now is overwhelmed because this is, quite frankly, the largest renewal event ever to take place, I think, in the history of the state. Because of COVID, a lot of people didn't have to do the renewals. Now they do. And so we're talking about millions of people, 6 million people that have to have their Medicaid rechecked. Now, I understand that you help clients with that, and I want to commend you and thank you for your help, because right now it's all hands on deck trying to get people to make sure that they don't lose that coverage, especially if they're still eligible. So one of the things that I would suggest, if your workload is too much, please have your clients either call someone, have them go to staycoveredtx.org. That is our website that we created especially for Medicaid, this whole renewal process that's happening. It helps clients understand the steps they need to take. Some of them we've talked about tonight, which is to make sure that they download the Your Texas Benefits app, that they're able to take charge of their account. They're able to upload accounts through this mobile app. They're able to do a lot of that help if they want to do it themselves. They could also reach out for help. A lot of our enrollment assisters do what you do, but they've also been trained with how to help people apply for these benefits and renew. And so might have more access maybe than you as a broker agent to assist the family with case management assistance. I know a lot of the community health centers who we represent at our association have become case assistance navigators, which means they're contracted with the state Medicaid agency to actually help people manage a lot of those cases. So if the family doesn't feel comfortable and still wants that one-on-one, I would direct families to go to our statecoveredtx.org website, and maybe they can help find someone local as well to help them with that process. Back to you, Taylor.
Well, thank you so much, Sonia. Really great information here for Mixie. And we're going to go ahead and take another question here. I see Tim has submitted a question. I'm going to read his over the air. He's curious, I already submitted my renewal, but I haven't heard back. What should I do? Amy, can you share more information here for Tim and maybe anyone else who has a similar question here tonight?
Tim, thank you for calling. If you submitted your renewal, I don't know if you did it online or you did it via mail, you could confirm that that was received by calling 211 option 2, but also it may take a little while. As Sonia indicated, this is the biggest renewal efforts that we've seen ever, and it may take the state a little while before they can process that renewal packet. And until they make a decision, you should remain on Medicaid, or whoever is on Medicaid should remain on Medicaid. And you will be notified in writing or via your Texas Benefits mobile app about your eligibility, depending on how you get your notifications. So I think if you're concerned, if you submitted it online, you have a submission ID, and that submission ID is proof that you turned it in. If you don't have that, you can also call and confirm it was received by, like I said earlier, calling 211 option 2, and they can validate that it was received. I hope that answers, and that gives you a little more comfort, but there are a lot of renewal packets being renewed, and it is the largest renewal event we've had. I've worked in the system for 30-some years, and it is a large number of renewals going on. So I hope you hear something very soon, and again, call if you have questions. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Amy, and really thankful to have you join us, Tim. Let's continue on here. I'm going to read our next question as well here, and looks like we can toss this one to you, Gracie. This one's coming in from Estella in Dallas, who asked me to read her question. Looks like she has three kids. One of her kids has Medicaid, and so which meaning he's still eligible. Her oldest kid will be 18 in November, pending denial for Medicaid. Court said he might get CHIP. And then her 14-year-old child is still being denied because they say she has private insurance, but she does not. My daughter takes medicine on a daily basis and needs quick resolution of approval. Thank you, Estella, for joining us here tonight. And Gracie, any information we can share?
Definitely. Good evening, Ms. Estella. Thank you for your question. So we'll take this in parts, at least per my experience. So I see that your youngest child will continue on Medicaid, and that's great. Your oldest child will turn 18 in November. 18 is not aging out. They age out when they turn 19. So if your household income is still within the income guidelines, as I see because your younger child was still eligible, he may still be eligible until he turns 19. Okay, many families think that 18 is the age that they no longer have coverage, but actuality in Texas at least is until they turn 19. He doesn't have to transfer over to CHIP. Very likely, if the income is the same for your younger child and it covers this older child, he could still stay on until he is 19. So we can take a look at that. Unless you have received a notice saying that his coverage is ending, we'll have to see why. So a local assister can assist you clarifying that. Now, the issue with your 14-year-old child who is still being denied because they say they have private health insurance. Now, there's two things here. If you know for sure your child does not have private health insurance or has never had private health insurance, please request for your case to be reviewed to make sure that they have the correct information. They may have entered a wrong Social Security number. They may have entered a wrong date of birth or maybe a middle name. So something that is making or matching up your child's name with someone who does have private health insurance. And even at that, if your child did have private health insurance and your income was within the Medicaid guidelines, your child could still have private health insurance and Medicaid as a secondary if they qualify for it. But I'm not understanding why she is being denied. So again, please make sure to speak to a local assister that can look, help you look into this case and have it reviewed. Again, it's very important for your daughter to take her medication on that daily basis. We don't want to miss that. We want to make sure it is resolved as soon as possible. So, again, please reach out. Get assistance from a local assister to help you through this process to have your case reviewed. Again, very likely it could be an error in the system that is causing your child to be denied if the other children have been approved. I hope this answers your question, Ms. Estella. My best to you. And again, reach out to local assistance to help you resolve this as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that information here, Gracie. And before we do get to our next question from John in Grand Saline, we want to go ahead and run a third and final survey question. So everyone still listening in, we want you to go ahead and get your phone keypads back out and ready to vote. We do want to know and let you know as well that sharing your story can help other families navigate their own situation. We're curious, are you interested in sharing your story about accessing health care for you and your family? You can press 1 if yes, and someone from Stay Covered will follow up with you. Press 2 if you're unsure and you would just like to learn some more. or press 3 for no, you would like to not share your story. So again, sharing your story can help other families navigate their own situation. Are you interested in sharing your story about accessing health care for you and your family? So go ahead and press 1 for yes, you would like to share your story. Press 2 if you are unsure and you would like to learn more. Or press 3 for no, you do not want to share your story. And thank you all so much for letting us know here. Let's go ahead and continue on with some questions. I have John up next, as promised, who's asking, he applied for Medicaid a year ago and got free food, but because he was $5 over, he did not qualify. Looks like John is blind, and he's curious, why do others qualify? Amy, can you take this question here from John?
Hi, John. Thank you for calling and asking. It seems like there's a lot of different issues here. I don't know if your son got the Medicaid. It appears he was $5 over, but he did get some assistance with food. Tell you different reasons for why some may be eligible and others don't. There's a lot of different eligibility points that are reviewed on this, but I would definitely encourage you to have your son reapply. If he needs help, contacting one of the assisters would be very beneficial. If there's also the possibility he may need help with food, he can ask for someone that can assist him with both Medicaid as well as SNAP. If you get to the point and identify that they determine he's not eligible, there's also other programs available through your local food banks for people that may be just barely over the income limits for some of the programs you apply for, SNAP and Medicaid. There may be other benefits that he could become eligible for through TFAP and different funded federal programs that are administered through the food banks. So I encourage you to reach out and talk to some of the sisters in your local area. And definitely, I would try again with the SNAP. October 1, the income limits just went up for SNAP. And so that's something you may want to look at for him. And there's a lot of different reasons people are eligible and some are not. So that's something, it's more specific to your situation that we would want to look at and see if we can find out if your son is eligible. So we'd be glad to do that. And just like I said, you can reach out to one of your sisters. If you did the survey, somebody will be reaching out to you, the second survey. I think there's something you may want to do as far as reapplying and having that rechecked again and see if there's other programs that you may be eligible for or your son may be eligible for. And thank you so much for reaching out.
Yes, absolutely. And let's continue on with some more questions here. I see up next we have a question from Linda in Athens, who wants me to read her question as well. And I want to give just a final reminder that if you still had a question, we have about 5 to 10 minutes left here tonight to answer those for you. So go ahead and get those in line right now by pressing 0. So back to Linda's question. She's asking, I adopted 2 boys in March of 2019. I've never been told that I need to renew their Medicaid. Do I need to do anything in regards to that? Also, one of them was diagnosed with level 2 autism. Am I able to get help with his medical needs later down the line? So great few questions here from Linda. And Carla, I'm going to toss this to you and see if you can share some more information.
Yeah, thank you for your question, Linda. So one of the things that's been going on in the last couple of years since we've been in the pandemic is that nobody has had to renew their Medicaid. So part of a lot of the extra help that was being given during the pandemic included that nobody could get kicked off the Medicaid program. So it could be that your 2 boys just haven't needed to renew their Medicaid in the last 3 years. But what's happening now as part of this massive re-enrollment process is that Texas is going to be checking eligibility for Medicaid for everybody. So what I would encourage you to do if you have not received anything yet in terms of a renewal is to maybe call or see if you can log on to Your Texas Benefits and see if there's any notices in there for you or if there's any status on their current Medicaid, or see if they can tell you when they're going to be up for renewal. What you want to make sure you do whenever you're checking in on the status of this for now is make sure that your contact information is updated, so any address or phone number, so that whenever the state does need to reach you for the renewal, that you have that, that they have good information for you on file. The other thing that I would encourage you to do is once you do get that renewal, make sure to respond. And if you need any help, know that there is local help available near you to complete that renewal. But it is very likely that you have not had to renew in the last couple of years, but you will have to renew at some point this year or next. So we do want to make sure that they keep their Medicaid if they're still eligible, especially with any high medical needs that they might have. If they're not eligible for Medicaid anymore after their eligibility is reviewed, there might be other options through the CHIP program or through healthcare.gov. So we can make sure that his medical needs are met later down the line. But thank you, Linda, for that question.
Absolutely. Great questions. And thank you, Linda, so much for joining us. Let's go ahead and take another question here. I see we have Marsha with us in Plano, who's curious, what if I miss the deadline to turn in my renewal application? And we might have covered this a little bit earlier, but certainly happy to go over again if we did, Marsha, so that you can get this information as well. Gracie, can I go ahead and toss this one over to you?
Yes, of course. And thank you, Marsha, for your question. This is one of those questions that it doesn't hurt to repeat because we hear this over and over again in our communities. What if, they miss the deadline to turn in the renewal application? It's okay. Still turn it in. It's important to know that even if that timeline, that deadline, and that notice has passed, there's still hope because you have up to 90 days to go ahead and submit that information. Don't wait the 90 days, but definitely turn it in as soon as you remember, as you know, as you gather that information, go ahead and submit it. If possible, there's two or three things you can do. Definitely you could submit it through your mobile app, at your Texas Benefits mobile app. You can also send it in by mail. If you receive the packet, go ahead and fill it out, sign it, date it, provide the documents that are being requested, and mail it in. And also, if you want to, because the deadline has passed, you can walk into your local Health and Human Services office as well and submit it there. Especially if there is a healthcare need, if you have a child who was, needing to get services and needing to go to the doctor, receive some type of therapy or medication, you want to make sure that there's no gap in coverage. You can go ahead and walk into your local office with your documents already filled out and ask for them to interview you or review it or be able to accept it then and there. So it's okay if that deadline has passed. If it's within that 90 days, go ahead, submit it. A lot of people just remember a week after or 2 weeks after, it's okay, submit it. Now, if it's 3 months down the line, 4 months down the line, you may have to reapply. But at this point, what we're telling families is go ahead and submit that renewal, even if that deadline has recently passed. Thank you for your question, Marsha.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Marsha. And let's go ahead and take another question if we can. I see Hector as well on the line with us who would like me to read his question. He's asking, what do I need to get ready for my renewal and what should I bring to an appointment? I think this is a great question from Hector. And Gracie, can you take this one on as well?
Sure. I'd love that. Hector, thank you again for this question. So what do you need to get ready for your renewal? Of course, if you receive that renewal packet, fill it out. Update any information that is outdated. Make sure you sign it, you date it, and gather the information. Mostly what they're asking is for your updated income information, whatever your household income may be, a check stub. Maybe if you're receiving unemployment, the verification of that unemployment. If you, you know, work on your own and you are able to provide a letter or something saying, I'm a mechanic and I earn $500 a week with the odd jobs that I do. Make sure to submit any information that you have with that application. Usually, there is not an in-person appointment for Medicaid renewals. So, again, you may not have to go to an actual appointment, but you do have to submit that information. So, again, reviewing that application, filling it out, updating it, signing it, dating it, and providing copies of your documents. Please try not to send any original documents because you may not get those back. Please make copies. Local offices have copiers where you could go in and make copies of your documents and then leave your packet there with them. So again, just to be ready, make sure you have all that available. And again, most people don't have to go to an actual in-person appointment, but make sure you do submit or send or mail this information. If you're doing it online, take photos with your phone and you can upload that through your mobile app at yourtexasbenefits.com as well. So thank you again for that question.
Yes, thank you so much, Hector. And now we have officially reached our allotted time tonight. And I want to thank everyone so much who stayed on the line for listening in and also just for submitting your questions tonight. Lots of really great questions. And we hope that you were able to grab as much information as you could. Now, at this time, I'd like to go ahead and hand it back to Sonia to wrap us up with any reminders and final words.
Thank you so much, Taylor, and thanks everyone tonight for joining us this evening to talk about how to keep yourself connected to health insurance. We hope this has been helpful and that you feel more confident about taking action for you and your family's health insurance needs. Everyone who asked for assistance through the polls tonight should receive a follow-up call this week from a local assister near you. For those of you that submitted a question that we just didn't have enough time to get to, we will follow up with you and try to get you answers. I know a lot of the questions were out of the purview of this town hall, which was on Medicaid and health insurance, but we, again, are going to try and get those follow-up questions to you. Just a few takeaways. If someone in your family has Medicaid right now, make sure you download the Your Texas Benefits mobile app to access your account. Update your contact information if you've moved in the last 3 years. And finally, make sure you complete your Medicaid renewal right away. Remember, you don't have to do it alone. Hundreds of enrollment assisters across the state are ready to help you, and it's free. If you need more information or want to find local help, please visit our State Covered Texas website at www.statecoveredtx.org to learn more. You should be able to find a recording of this event later this week on the website. Again, that website is Stay Covered Texas at www.staycoveredtx.org.